Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
Papa!
Ah, what beautiful music, operatic music, but part of a show that if you're not an opera person, you still want to see if you're a Broadway person. Welcome to Behind the Curtain, everybody. This is Paul Listick, and today a show filled of variety with you. We begin with Light in the Piazza, which is playing at the Lyric Opera House through December 29th. That was the voice of one of my guests joining me now, Rob Hauschen. He plays Fabrizio Nicarelli, and that was his gorgeous voice. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So let's see. You're in America. You've got that Italian dialect or accent in the show, and now I'm hearing British. What's the deal?
It's basically, I've just got to jump from accent to accent, really. It's hard because when I'm around Americans, I really just want to speak in an American accent. I love it. But in the show, I'm completely Italian, so that was that took a little work. But yeah. It's good fun. It's good fun.
Well, as you work on your American accent, skip the one from Jersey, but that's just a suggestion from me. Also joining us and playing his love interest, Clara Johnson, is Solea Pfeiffer. Solea, welcome to the podcast. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So I have to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. So a lot of people, when they do something about this show, of course, they always say, oh, we have to talk to Renee Fleming. And for all the obvious reasons you guys would agree with. But when I saw
show... Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing. And it's wonderful. And she's a legend and everything else. But when I saw the show, I actually contacted your folks and said, you know what? I really want to talk to Solea and Rob. Because I thought the magic between the two of you on stage was so wonderful. The story told so well between you. Solea, I'm going to come to you. Actually, Solea, tell listeners what Light in the Piazza is all about, who may not be familiar with the show. Which, by the way, if I'm right, got its start in Chicago at the Goodman Theater before it went to Broadway.
Yeah. It's cool that we're bringing the show back for, I think, maybe the first time since its kind of initial conception here. But this is a show about first love and a show about family. And it's a show that has a gloriously beautiful score that is totally accessible to people who might not be super familiar with the world of opera. But those who love the world of opera will definitely find a ton to love in this show as well. But it's a very sweet show about a mother and daughter who go on vacation and they meet some people who change their lives forever over the course of this trip.
And of course, I'm sorry, Rob, that's you. That's Fabrizio.
Yes, that's Rob.
Yeah. In this role, typically the role of Fabrizio that you play is often played by a baritone. You're not, right? You're a tenor. So talk about that little shift.
Well, it's funny because when I was at college, I never really knew what kind of voice type I had because I hadn't sung for very long. I think I started about 16. So when I started singing, I was like, what kind of voice type am I? And so people say to me, you're a tenor. And I say, okay, I'll go with that. But he's normally got a bit more of a low scat voice. So it's got quite a range to it, this part. It's a good challenge. It goes from very high to sometimes quite low. So, you know, it helps to... Have some lower range as well as higher range.
Yeah, and by the way, I know when I was in the chorus, I was a tenor as well, so I'm prepared to understudy for you if it's needed.
Perfect.
And unfortunately, age-wise, I'm probably your father's age, but in terms of the show, but that's what are you going to do? We'll have Alex play that role. Hey, you left something out of the plot, and I never know, I'm always careful in these interviews when there's things we don't want to give away. So I'll just word it this way, and you answer it as you can. There is something special that we come to learn about Solea. Is that something we get to talk about or something audiences have to experience?
I think it's something, I think you'll have a richer experience of the show if you're not fully aware of what happens.
Okay.
There's a plot point. There is something that is different about Clara. That means that she experiences the world differently than most people. You don't really know why or what that is until a little bit later in the show. But it is a very important and rich layer of her character and the plot of this show and what makes the relationship between Claire and her mother so interesting and exciting to watch.
And Rob,
I think it's that's an element of the show that like you should come and see it to find out what happens.
Okay, see, and that's where I've learned my lesson about not saying something where my guest goes, I really wish you hadn't said that.
Spoiler alert! Yeah, right.
Spoiler alert. Rob, talk about your character. You see her, you fall in love. It's almost actually the story itself is 60 years old. I mean, there is this sense of this could have been made many years ago in terms of the first a love at first sight kind of aspect of this, right?
Yeah. It's kind of timeless in the sense that, you know, how youth can bring you this clarity and when you fall in love and this love at first sight kind of situation, how there's no inhibitions. You just think, well, I love this person and I want to be with them. There's one line that I sing in Italian, which is I never knew I was in darkness until you came and showed me the light. Like, it was kind of like, he didn't really know what real love was until he meets Clara. And it's kind of like suddenly, you know, the whole world's in color. It's one of those moments.
And by the way, did you speak Italian? I mean, you really do such a well with the Italian dialect and the language, or did you learn it for the show?
Thanks. I don't speak it fluently, no. I learned everything in the show to the best I could. Like, I had an Italian dialect coach, and she was great, and we went through everything, and it's beautiful to sing. The Italian language is so good to sing, so it kind of makes it easier when it's in song. But, yeah, it's not something I speak, but I definitely want to try and learn it because it's such a beautiful language, and the country is amazing, so gives me an excuse to go there.
Yeah. And Soleil, what a different role from you. I mean, I know you played recently Ava Perón in New York City in the revival. Which I love that show. So here's how stupid I am. I was in Buenos Aires some years ago, and I was able to go on in the Casa Rosada, and I went out on the balcony, and I kind of did my version of
good. I would be mad if you hadn't.
But the thing is, and I remember saying to some people, "Wow, I sang it just like Ava Perón did," and somebody said, "You know, that's just a show, right?" but anyway, talk to me about. I mean, you know that there are many people who want to see this, and they've heard of Light in Teatro, but they are coming to see Renee, and I get it, and you know it's okay. But she does play your mom, so talk about that relationship and make us feel very happy about the wonderful person she is to work with.
Oh my gosh! Well, I mean, I would be. It's no exaggeration to say that she's one of the loveliest people I've ever worked with. She is just a true artist who works without ego and is really, really lovely. You know, she's been an inspiration of mine for a really long time, you know, as a vocalist, but now as someone who I'm working with on a closer, more one-on-one level. She's someone who I really, really admire, and I'm taking a lot of notes because I'm just like, this is the kind of person, you know, I aspire to be when, you know, in the room and as a professional, and getting to play her mother on stage. You know, I'm one of the newer members of this cast. And so it's always a really, really lucky thing to be able to step into a cast of people who are willing to work with you on a creative level of kind of creating something new and specific to us as people and as actors. And so it's really exciting. I mean, I feel like just the luckiest person to get to do this role and to get to do it with these people.
And Rob, it's not as though your parental connection, Alex Jennings, is some slouch in the field. The man has more Olivier Awards and has played more roles. I mean, tell a little bit, but I think people here in the States may not be as familiar with him. Talk about the great work of Alex Jennings in your relationship.
I mean, when I saw Alex was going to be playing my father, firstly, I was like, that's good casting, because we kind of look quite similar. So I was like, great.
They look related.
and then, obviously, I was the next stage was excitement, the fact that I get to work with someone of his caliber. I mean, yeah, he has 3 Olivier Awards. He's just been in the most incredible movies, and I've seen his movies. And and to see him up close. And it's interesting because on the first day he said, oh, I'm nervous about the singing. And I said, well, that's funny because I'm nervous about like acting alongside you because of how amazing you are. And it is like Soleil said about Renee, we take notes from these actors that have been in the business for so long and just have these instincts and skills that I can't wait to learn from. And he also is the most lovely man, and mm-hmm. off stage as well. He's just so dear to me, and it's so great to, you know, meet friends as well as being on stage with people that are as incredible as he is. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, and lovely wife, by the way. When I was there on opening night, I sat next
yes.
to her.
Oh, Leslie is fantastic.
Oh, yes.
And yeah. so
nothing now, better than a dinner with Alex and Leslie.
Now, by the way, and Rob, you're in from England, so did you bring family with you, or are you just here enjoying the States?
I have my mum with me at the moment, actually, yeah. She's just waiting in the other room with a coffee while I do this. But I have my mum with me until tonight. She leaves. She's been here for 6 days. She came to the opening. So, yeah, she loves the show, and she loves Chicago. So she's having a whale of a time.
So, Leia, have you met his mum?
I sure have, and she's so sweet. And it was nice. It was nice to meet another mom. My parents don't get here for the next few days, so
we'll trade.
A hug from a mom. Yeah.
Yeah. I have cousins in England, so I just love the mums, and I love that the phraseology and words. I love it. So you guys are playing through December 29th, which kind of takes you through mm-hmm. the holidays, but it's not every day. It's not it's not an 8-show-a-week situation.
Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you how amazing it feels. I think Rob can agree that the opera schedule leaves a lot more time in between shows, and you get the whole day to yourself, which I think those of us who are used to the Broadway or West End schedule, it feels kind of like being on vacation almost.
Yeah, exactly. And Rob, you're getting to see a lot of the States while you're here? Or at least a lot of Chicago?
It is. It's like half and half. Half holiday, half work, really. It's like you get a couple of days off to do things and rest and then go and do a few more shows, you know, just for the fun of it. And then a few more days off. It's just like, it's great. I mean, it's much easier in the sense that you get time to rest after rather than doing 8 days a week back to back. It's also sometimes scary because you go back to work after a couple of days and you think, oh, I kind of need to pick up in the flow of things that I've stopped. You know, having my days wandering around the city and doing all the touristy stuff. It's really, really nice. We're very lucky.
Which is so good. By the way, Rob, you've got music out on, people can check you out on Spotify and iTunes, right? Just to list, because you do different kinds of music.
I have a couple of EPs that I released. Some are covers, some are original, and there's going to be more music coming. Yeah, it's kind of just easy listening, pop, soul kind of vibe. So, yeah, take a listen.
And Soleil, you, of course, we see you on TV and stage. Places that people can check your music out? Do you record that for folks?
I'm on a few different albums. None of them are my original music, but for those musical theater fans out there, if they love Songs for a New World, we released that album last year.
I love that album.
Yeah.
Well, let's also mention, I know you're not on the cast recording, but you were Eliza on the West Coast performance of Hamilton, one of the greatest shows ever written.
I was.
Do you know if you guys stay?
I've been very lucky.
If you stay in Chicago just a little bit after your show closes, the final Chicago performance of Hamilton, January 5th, here in the city.
I know. I've got a bunch of friends in that. I got a lot of people from the company that I was a part of. They're now in the Chicago company, and I can't believe it's coming to a close.
I know. I will be there for the final performance. I'll bet you Lynn shows up. I've got money on that. We'll see.
Oh, probably.
Well. For you guys, though, people that want to catch it, and I really just wanted to kind of have a chat with you like that because you have just such great energy, and you just the relationship that we see on stage is probably the relationship you have. It's just so light, so great. Light in the Piazza.
Yeah, it's easy. It's just from offstage to on.
It's so perfect.
I mean, when you get to hear that voice every night, I mean, I'm just like, I just have the best seat in the house.
Stop it.
Like I said, they kept throwing me off stage. I was trying to sit up there to listen to you, too. It's at the Lyric Opera, which, by the way, what an amazing venue to be performing in.
Truly, yeah, it's a huge honor to be there. It's one of the most like renowned opera houses, really. I know in the country, maybe in the world.
I've ever performed
so
in.
It, what's that, Rob?
It's one of the biggest theaters I've ever performed in. It's really, really, it's really big. It's so beautiful. Sometimes I'm like, God, I have to just I look out during warm up or before the show, and I think, wow, I have to pinch myself to think that I'm singing on this stage. It's so beautiful.
It's so amazing. I know some of the stars of White Christmas were there the other night, and they took pictures standing on the stage. And I thought to myself, they're probably going, oh, we're in such a small, which they're not, of course. They're in the Cadillac. Such jealousy. Light in the Piazza is playing through December 29th at the Lyric Opera House. You can get tickets at lightinthepiazzathemusical.com because it's actually not part of the Lyric series. It's visiting the Lyric, but how fortunate you guys are. So, Leah, where's next for you after this?
After this, I head back to New York and then to Washington, D.C. to do a show.
So, can you tell us what's the show in Washington?
It's a show. It's a world premiere of a new musical called Gun and Powder. It's a show that I hold very near and dear to my heart.
We will check it out.
Yeah, that's what's up next for me.
All right. And Rob?
I'm going to be in City of Angels at the Garrick Theatre in London until... I think we open March, and I'm there for a couple of months. So, yeah, that should be
fabulous.
Fun.
You know what? Actually, a school chum, and it's a cool chum, that's my English version, and good friend of mine was Greg Edelman, who originated that role. Of Stone. Both those guys, James Naughton and Greg Edelman, got Tony nominations when that show first opened. So it's a fabulous show. Have a great time.
Yeah, so good. Can't wait.
Accent are we going to get from you in there? You're going to have to go American.
It's just going to be my best American.
Well, give my regards to Mum while she's here, and Soleil to your family as well. Light in the Piazza again through December 29th at the Lyric. Don't miss it. Soleil Pfeiffer, Rob Hauschen, thank you guys. Appreciate it so much. Have a great time in Chicago.
Thank you so much.
All right. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Are they still there?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm still there. Yeah,
thanks, Soleil. Rob, thanks so much. Thanks for just having some fun with me.
No worries.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks for promoting our show.
All right. Have a good time. Have a good time. Break legs when you're next on stage.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Bye. When everybody wants to be a cat, a square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born. Every time he plays, oh, a rinky-tinky-dinky with a square in the act, you can set music back to the caveman days. Oh, a what a great song. And you might be wondering, why am I playing Everybody Wants to Be a Cat from the Aristocats? Given our next topic, which is to talk about the Beautiful City Project with its co-founder and artistic director, David Fiorello. You'll understand why I picked that song in just a moment. Hey, David, you know why I picked that song.
I do. And while that track is lovely, everyone's going to want to hear Mr. Paul Lisnek sing that track, which he will be doing on the 6th of January.
And I will be singing that song along with Tracy Elliott from the Anti-Cruelty Society. It's why I picked the duet portion of that number. We'll be doing it to raise money for Anti-Cruelty Society, as you said, at Davenport on January 6th at 8 p.m. That's assuming I learned the song by then. But let me take a step back, because when you first contacted me and said, hey, we want to give some help to the Anti-Cruelty Society, and we've got this way to do it. Talk about the Beautiful City Project and what inspired it.
Absolutely. So I have a co-founder with me, Jessica Needham, and the two of us, we've collaborated on a couple cabarets together. She's in my coaching studio, Fiorello Studios, and we just had a moment one day where we were thinking about, she was singing a song that was wonderful, and I'm like, no one does this show. You should just put on the show. You've got money, right? Put on the show, and then you could just play the lead. And then it kind of went through like, oh, maybe we should put on a show. Maybe we should start a theater company. And as we thought about it, there are so many wonderful theater companies in Chicago, both, you know, storefront and large scale. And as we talked about it, we just didn't want to do something commercial. We both have a heart for charity. My wife and I give a lot of money every year to causes that really deeply touch our hearts, and sometimes you don't even know why they do, but they do. And she was the same way. And so we started going down a path of, if we were going to do this, it had to be something that we felt passionate about that would give back. And so as we started talking, we thought that what we could do is do something where every single month we partner with a different charitable organization, and all local, all in Chicago, and that every single time we would sell tickets to something, the proceeds would go to that organization, and we could theme our musical theater songs around it. And just as we talked about it more and more, you know, some things are kind of meant to be, and the ideas just kind of keep flowing, and this could work. And so the first one that we wanted to do was something with animals. And so we reached out to, of course, the wonderful Paul Lisnek. And you were so gracious to offer your support and your singing voice. And Yeah, it just started to flow. And our mission statement really is just talking about giving back to Chicago and building a beautiful city. You know, there's a song in Godspell by Stephen Schwartz that's called Beautiful City, and it talks about out of the ruins and rubbles, out of the smoke, you know, we could just build a beautiful city. And that's something that we had in our hearts. And as soon as we start to put it into action, we just saw people coming out of the woodwork who were so excited about the concept, so excited about donating their time, so excited about partnering with us. And so this venture is an exciting one. We just launched it, but our first show is going to be in January. And then every single month, there'll be the first Monday of every month is when we're putting something on. And so we'll be doing large main stage musicals and concert, and we'll be doing cabarets all of the months that we don't do those. And yeah, it's a phenomenal happenstance. Some things I think are meant to happen, and this very much felt like that.
Oh, you gave me warm fuzzies when you mentioned Stephen Schwartz. I interviewed him years ago, and what a nice guy. Mm.
Just a genuine guy.
Yeah. So what is it about artists? I mean, you know, when people think of artists and theater people, you know, many of them struggling artists, waiting for their next show and all of that. And yet, when you ask them to give back, they do.
That's absolutely true. And I think it's because...
I shouldn't say give back. I should say to give. They do.
In general, yes. Well, because there's nothing in return for them sometimes. But it's the idea that when you're creating art, and my wife, who went to culinary school, she felt the same way about cooking. It's just something about using the unique gifts that you have to give to other people. And when you listen to your mom talk when you were younger about how there's always somebody who is more disadvantaged than you, there's always somebody who has it worse than you. And so use your gifts, use your skills to give back to people in need. And I think it's just a wonderful thing with artists who, you know, all of it is from the depths of emotion is when you're creating great art. And I feel like that's where we just understand the concept of giving always feels better than getting, you know, impacting people's lives. And so I was not shocked, but so pleased and grateful and thankful when we lined up some of Chicago's absolute best talent for this first inaugural show. And they were unbelievably on board. And it was just a heartwarming thing that maybe we were doing something right, that people just want to make an impact. They want to give, and especially around the holidays, but at any time, it is that whole mantra of I feel great when I know I'm doing something right. And that's been wonderful to see in action.
And little did you know that as we picked an organization, Anti-Cruelty Society, its new president and executive director is a singer. So that one just worked out really nicely. And by the way, what's really cool, I don't think I'm giving anything away, but every song that will be done that night has something to do with cats and dogs.
That's right. We wanted the programming to be very specific and clever in that way. And they're a wonderful songs that are kind of known in the musical theater canon. Obviously, you have the musical cast. But then there's wonderful songs that people have never heard before that just exist for musicals, and pairing them up with the right fantastic talent here in Chicago. We're not going to give away too much of what the songs are every single time, but we're definitely, I mean, the show's going to open with a wonderful little jazz combo doing Everybody Wants to Be a Cat with Paul and Tracy. And I mean, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be the entire night of that.
That we've teased him with or scared him away. I'm not sure. We'll find out. But by the way, so as you do different charities each month, will this be the effort, which is, you'll pick something to do with healthcare or something, and then all the songs will have to do with that issue or related to it? Is that part of the mission? For the goal?
Absolutely, that's part of it. Yeah, and there's so many, of course, keeping it local Chicago, there's so many wonderful organizations of people who are on the front lines that just need more help and need, you know, and of course the money that goes to them is only one part of it, but it's also all of these people that come see the shows that are just more aware of them now. And so, you know, we'll do something where it has to do with food waste or something, and there'll be songs about food for musicals, and we'll do, you know, there's so many wonderful different ways. I've got about 10 in my head already of like, oh, yeah, you can do this theme, you can do that theme, just to keep it clever and musically interesting. But the focus really is on these wonderful organizations of great people. We spent, about 2 hours with people of the Anti-Cruelty Society. We have a podcast that we do along with a theater company. And so we interviewed one of them and met the whole staff. And they're just some of the most wonderful people on the planet. And that you just, I think everybody finds that. People who are on the front lines doing the work just have a heart for it. And we just want to tap into everybody's heart. And so there'll be things where people will be like, yeah, I mean, in general, the Beautiful City Project is cool, but this thing really, really appeals to me. So I'd love to give some money here and be a sponsor and see this one. And, you know, we just hope that we touch all the different areas of these local Chicago charities that are in need.
Beautiful. By the way, when you get to the food one, I know you're going to be doing something from Oliver, and I'll play Mr. Bumble.
done. Locked in. We all heard it here. This is an official contract.
For people that want information or want to buy tickets for the January 6th event, 8 p.m., Davenport's Piano Bar and Cabaret to help the Anti-Cruelty Society of Chicago. What's the website they can go to?
It is www.thebeautifulcityproject.com, and you can find everything on the site.
It doesn't get easier than that. David Fiorello and Jessica Needham, who didn't join us today, but for both of you, congratulations on the effort you're making. You're going to make a difference in the city of Chicago, and of course, those vibes will be felt beyond the city limits. I can't wait to join you January 6th at Davenport's. Check out thebeautifulcityproject.com. Come join Tracy Elliott. If you're a fan of dogs and cats and you're a fan of the Anti-Cruelty Society, that's a night you won't want to miss starting at 8 p.m. David Fiorello, thank you so much. I appreciate the information, and I'm looking forward to a fun night.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for your generosity.
You got it. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's P-A-U-L-L-I-S-N-E-K. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.